Alrighty then, let's see what kind of mayhem we can produce tonight. Hello, I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Bill Newell with us tonight, too. This is MSO News Sports, and this is North Shore Sports Night during this Monday evening here. What is this? This is the first Monday in April, Coach?
Let me check my calendar right in front of me. Yes, it is, Rick. It is the first Monday. Thing as it is the 6th. Okay, if we subtracted 7, we'd be back in March.
Okay. Okay. All right, and we're doing this without face masks on, but Tim is in his studio, and I'm in mine, and this is how we're going to do it. So we're going to try this experiment here with the long the long-range thing, and Tim, we'll probably talk over each other a little bit here tonight, but let me just tell you about my guests first, and then we'll get back to Coach. We're going to open up with Mark Leonard. He is the Essex Tech High School hockey coach, had a fantastic year this year, did so well in the playoffs as well, and we'll talk to Coach about his resurgence over there and how the kids have done. We'll be checking in with Gary Larrabee later on live, as Gary has a lot to talk about with respect to golf, believe it or not. Then Bill will also be talking with Cedric Gillette. He is a right-handed pitcher for the Navigators, the North Shore Navigators, and we are all still hoping, of course, that they get off the ground and end up playing. Also, Bill will be chatting with Jameson Pelkey, who is the St. John's Prep Athletic Director, as well as the Lynn Classical High School Director of Athletics, Bill Devin. So that's our lineup for tonight. It looks pretty packed, and I'm looking forward to it. And Coach, what catches your eye? I know that it seems to me we're heading into the turnaround point. We're heading into the big stuff here, and hopefully this thing is going to break soon so we can get back to something of a normal life.
Yeah, well, you know, there's going to be a period of adjustment, Rick. You know, they're talking about hitting the peak and hopefully it flattening out. But you still have the whole back side of the curve to deal with, where people are still going to be getting infected, still end up in the hospital. So the numbers may slow down, but the number of infected people and the loss of life is going to continue to rise over the next several months. And I think people have to, you know, keep that in mind, that, you know, once we get to the peak of the outbreak, there's still the backside to it, so you still have to be aware, you still have to take precautions, and you just can't forget everything that kept you healthy before. You're still going to have to stay alert.
Yeah, I know, but I think there's some voice of optimism now that I hadn't seen in a while, so I'm hoping that I'm hoping it turns around faster than what everybody's predicting. But in the meantime, we're talking sports here once a week, and that's about all I can do. I have been very frustrated, Tim, in looking for sports stories. There's a lot of nostalgia. There's all these, classic games on television and on the radio. But for some reason, I'm not into it. I'm not interested in that stuff. I'm looking for new stuff, and it's kind of hard to find.
Well, you're really not going to find anything unless you're looking for free agent signings or trades that may take place, at least domestically. You go over to England, say, and what you've got over there is you've got this big kerfuffle involving our own John Henry and the Liverpool soccer team, where they were furloughing off any non-soccer related workers, and today they abruptly reversed course. He was going to lay them off and let the government pay 80% of their wages, and he would only pay 20%. But almost all other teams were not going to do what they weren't going to do, that they weren't going to take money from the government to pay their workers. So today they backed off of that, but not without getting a black eye first.
Yeah, that stuff, it just gets, I don't know, there's so much stuff going on, and that's the other thing. I'm looking for positive stories here. Bill and I are, and we've been able to talk to a lot of people on the news side of MSO who have given us pretty good stories about the good things that are going on in the neighborhoods all over the North Shore. And I have found that, Tim. I found that there's sort of an unstated or an understated politeness now that is akin to what happened after 9/11. Not the same, but there's that similar politeness, even though it's sort of it's a standoffish politeness, if you will.
Yeah, everybody who's, you know, you're walking down an aisle in a store or something like that, and somebody comes the other way, it's like, you know, oh, excuse me, and both sides step away from each other. You generally don't see that. You normally have to bump shoulders to get somebody to get out of your way. So there is a greater awareness on that part. And then that'll probably wear off very quickly as soon as the totality of this crisis is over. But it is nice to see that we appear to be a bit more kinder, gentler nation to each other in our face-to-face meetings.
Yeah. Now, Tim, I am going to talk to Mike Grenier next week about the Basketball Hall of Fame. And there's just one thing that caught my eye, and maybe I read it wrong. I'm not even sure. Is it? Now I know Kevin Garnett is going to make. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's been elected to the Hall of Fame, and that's totally appropriate. But did I read that the Celtics are going to retire his number?
I have not seen that. Let's see. He wore
number five.
Five, which was Don Nelson's number, and I believe Nelson's number is up in the Raptors already, I think.
Well, we're going to have...
They could also, you know...
Yeah, it says here number five will be retired. I think Nelson wore 10, but it says here that the Boston Celtics announced that Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, Hall of Famer, and 2007-8 NBA champion Kevin Garnett's number five will be retired. Okay, that one bothers me.
Yeah, he did not have a very long career in Boston. He did help bring the championship in 08, and it was an exciting time while he was here. We were lucky to get him. You know, I mean, he still had tremendous skills even on the backside of his career. He certainly changed the whole tenor of the team with his intensity. But for someone who played that short of time, yeah, I'm not sure you retire his jersey. I'm sure he was very surprised by the honor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just, you know, you compare it with some of the other guys who were up there, and it's just like, But on the other hand, Don Nelson wasn't here all that long, but the other guys were, and, you know, I just think of, number six up there. But anyway, good for Kevin Garnett. He did bring a championship and a lot of happiness to this area with his play. Cool beans.
Okay, Nelly won 19.
19, okay, all right.
Yeah, I just looked it up.
Thank goodness for the internet, huh?
It's amazing how fast you can do this.
Well, it's amazing how fast you can forget, too. I mean, gosh, I used to know all those numbers, and I don't anymore, but I know a lot of them anyway. So, Coach, what we're going to do, I'm going to you hold on one second here. We're going to go live with Mark Leonard. And our live interviews, we're going to be able to do this together. So hang in there. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night. And don't forget, you have any...
Where go?
Huh?
Nelson played 11 seasons with the Celtics.
Well, okay. And what did Garnett play? Three?
Yeah, three or four. Yeah, not many.
I'm not even sure. You know what? Let me see if it's in this thing here.
Nelson will always be remembered for that Game 7 shot that hit the back of the rim, bounced up, and came straight back down through the net.
Who? Garnett?
No, Nelly.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I just remember how tough he was. He was so tough.
They were all tough back then.
Well, that's true. That's true. I don't know how long Garnett played. So I could be way off base. Well, anyway, Mike will straighten me out next week. Mike Grenier will definitely straighten me out. All right, so we will take our break now, come back, and we'll talk with the hockey coach from Essex Tech High School. And don't forget Cedric Gillette, North Shore Navigators, will be up right after that. So you be sure to stay with us. And if you have any suggestions, comments, or complaints, send the complaints to Tim. But the suggestions or comments, compliments, go to msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. The complaints, just send them along to Tim. We'll be right back.
MSO News Sports is a unique multimedia website providing exclusive news and sports content for the North Shore. Our goal is to keep you connected to your local neighbors throughout Essex County and beyond. We feature the best of the North Shore, and we couldn't provide this service without the powerful support of our local sponsors, like Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury, the Bradford Tavern in Rowley. Just like us, they care about the North Shore. Check out all of our podcasts and share our website with your friends. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Again, we are your connection to the best of the North Shore. msonewsports.com.
All right, we are back, and this is our little experiment here as Tim Kearns is co-hosting from another city. I'm Rick Moore, and joining us now is the Essex Tech High School hockey coach, Mark Leonard. And, Coach, welcome back to MSO.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. I hope everyone's safe and healthy.
Doing okay on this end. How are things over in Beverly, Tim?
My street is practically deserted.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Every time I see a neighbor, I run out to the door and wave at them.
There's that. So, Coach, are you working from home?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Okay.
And my wife is a teacher as well. She's working at home as well. So.
Oh boy.
Trying to keep busy. It's not easy.
Are they doing? Have they switched to the online learning, or is it transition? What's going on with that kind of stuff?
Yeah, they're doing a lot of online stuff, assignments, and. And my daughter's in high school, and they're doing, like, online classes and reports and assignments. So they're trying to keep busy. You know,
oh, wow.
It's not easy, but they're doing something to keep the kids, involved and doing some work, which is good.
Well, Coach, let's reflect on the season. And first of all, congratulations on being named the Salem News Hockey Coach of the Year in the area. Couldn't be more deserved. And I got to ask you personally, how does that feel?
Yeah, it feels great. It's a great honor. You know, especially with the other coaches in the area, a lot of guys had some great seasons, and it's a great honor, and I'm very proud to have done it. And I had a great season, great team, and it's nice. It's a nice feather in my cap for sure.
Absolutely. Now, what about the highlights? Give me a couple of highlights this season, Coach. We got to one of the playoff games. I think that was a 1-0 game early on. But tell me, regular season, playoffs. Give me a couple of highlights that are going to stick in your mind now for a long time.
Yeah, I'll give you one good and one bad. The good one was we won the Molloy tournament up in Everett. We beat Northeast Regional in the first round, and then in the championship we beat Somerville 2-0. It was a great for us towards the end of the season, going into the playoffs. The kids played great. Got a nice trophy and all that. And then probably the best game we had all season was kind of ended on a sour note, even though it was a tie, but we were playing for the league championship against Shawshin up in Shawshin, which is a tough place to play, and they're always a great team, and Chuck Baker does a great job with them. And we actually had the lead 4-3 with 22 seconds left, and we had a couple faceoffs in our zone, and we won the first one, and unfortunately my defenseman iced the puck, and they gave him another chance at the draw, and of course they win it clean back to the point and hits like three bodies and goes in the net.
Oh, mercy.
Tied. So that put us a point behind in the for the league title, but not too bad of a negative, but still that kind of gets me still. It was a great game. The kids played tremendous, and like they did all season. You know, they only lost 5 games all year, so it was a great group.
What did you learn about them this year, Mark, in terms of coming into the school? You know, it's a new setup for you. You've got kids from all over the area, not just one community. You're new to them. They're new to you, and yet you managed to get this thing to work together real quickly. So what's one or two things that you learned from them?
Well, I tell you what, it's they're a very tight-knit group, you know. They really cared about each other. They didn't really care who scored goals, as long as someone in the Hawks shirt got them. They worked extremely hard. They wanted to learn. They were hungry to get better. And I had 10 seniors on the team, which really helps. You know, most of them played a lot. And when you have seniors that play and are motivated, you know, you can do great things. And I think, like you said, it was a fresh start for them. They were hearing a new message. And for me, it was definitely a fresh start, recharging the batteries. I had kids, you know, listening to a message that I'd never heard of before, and I just think it gelled. You know, we were honest with each other, and
they gave me effort every day, and I was honest with them, and I just think it worked out. I mean, it was just a tremendous season. It really was.
I'm going to ask Tim about this, too, because you mentioned you had 10 seniors. You come in as a rookie coach to them, an unknown quantity to them. And with 10 seniors, that could have gone either way. However, it seems to me that you might have recognized pretty quickly that they were coachable. And, Tim, does that make sense? You know what I'm trying to ask?
Oh, yeah. You know, I experienced that when I became the head coach at Gloucester. We had a number of senior athletes, many of whom I had known through class and as a JV coach. But you're still having to establish yourself as the head coach in replacing the prior coach, and things don't always go as smooth as you'd like.
Mark, your response to that?
Yeah, you know what? I never really thought of it that way. I guess where they were seniors, they might have just kind of shut me out. But I think I was very lucky in that respect. They were really hungry to win. And now these seniors were the original Essex Tech team, so they were the 4-year players, and mm-hmm. they were on the first team that Essex Tech had, and they wanted to go out on a good note. And they honestly, from the first day, we had a good talk, and I told them what I was all about and what my philosophy was about working hard and sticking together, and no one cares who gets the credit. And honestly, they bought into it. And I think a lot, to be honest with you, we had some success early in the year, and I think that really helped. I mean, had we lost 4 games in a row, you know, maybe it might have been different. Maybe they would have been like, what the heck is this guy talking about? But I think, we grew together, and by the end of the season, we were a pretty tough team to play. I mean, we went through a stretch where we're unbeaten in 11 games.
Yeah.
So they bought my message, and they worked extremely hard. And ultimately, it's their job on the ice to get things done, and they really did.
I think it's great, Coach. I know everybody I know is very happy for you that it worked out this way, and obviously you got their attention early.
Yeah.
Mark,
yeah.
Did you have Heaven?
Yes, we did. We had a fairly quick after the year. We had a great night. Over at Spinelli's on Route 1. It was great. We had the varsity and the JV kids there and had a really nice night. We were able to reflect on the year a little bit. And so it was nice. We got that in.
Excellent.
Before all this stuff happened, which was nice.
And what's the status of the kids now? Have you talked to any of them? Or?
Yeah, a few of them have checked in. They're staying home, hopefully. You know,
right.
They're not out playing street hockey and stuff like that, which hopefully they're not doing. But you know, it's got to be. I feel really bad for the seniors.
Yep.
A lot of them played baseball and lacrosse, and they're missing out on their senior year and just the whole senior experience of senior week and all stuff like that. And I feel bad for them. They're really good kids, and hopefully this gets over soon. But I'm not quite sure that's going to happen. You know.
Well, it's a lesson in life that we all have to learn, I guess, because this is new to everybody, and you're right. I hope that when it is over that these kids have some kind of massive celebration, all of the seniors all over the place, and they're able to get off on the right foot, you know, in whatever they're doing next. Mark, anything else you want to mention? Because I know when I saw that you got the award, I was really happy for you, and we haven't talked since then, and, you know, just a great season for you guys.
It was an awesome season. I was very fortunate to get that job, and great support from the administration with the athletic director, Farrah Lally. She's tremendous, really supports the coaches and the players. And her right-hand man is John Lynch, an old-time hockey guy. He's been around for a long time. Heidi Riccio, who's the superintendent, and Shannon Donnelly, the principal. They're just really great people. They really care about the kids. The school is just absolutely phenomenal. It's a beautiful campus. They do great things for the kids, and I just really feel fortunate and to be coaching here and being part of it.
Glad you're still in the game, man. That's great, and that's proof that you belong there. Thanks, Coach. We'll talk to you. You still have your summer hockey stuff?
Yeah, I do. If we ever get it going, I'm still my Coyotes tryouts got put on hold and all that stuff in my camps, but I'm hoping maybe middle of May. Early June we can get it going at least and give them at least a month or so before they get back on the ice. So we'll see. Day by day.
Yep.
Day by day.
All right, I'll check in with you later, see what we can talk about. Meantime, Coach, you stay safe, and thank you so much. Congratulations again.
Thanks, Rick. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it.
Okay, Coach. Congratulations. Take care. Oh.
Take care, Mark.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Mark Leonard, who is the... I still have you, Tim?
I'm in.
Okay. I'm pushing buttons here, not knowing what I'm doing. There we go. But Mark Leonard is the Essex Tech hockey coach. Tremendous season. They made it, I think, to the second or third round of the playoffs. And I don't have those stats in front of me right now, sadly. But just a great year for Essex Tech hockey. Coach, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Bill Newell will be talking to North Shore Navigators right-handed pitcher Cedric Gillette. And good story. Very interesting, and I think you're going to enjoy it. So, and a little baseball, coach, so listen up, all right?
I'm listening.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com. MSO News Sports, North Shore Sports Night continues with Cedric Gillette from... The North Shore Navigators getting ready for his second year with the team. He's a Merrimack College student, former Andover High baseball player. And Cedric, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
Cedric, you played with the Navs last year. You were obviously the college. There's no college baseball right now that you would be participating in, even though it's a beautiful day today. But I guess tell me what your thoughts are about the Navigator season, which would be scheduled to start at the end of May.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited for the Navs and Summer Ball and the Futures League in general. Last year was a great experience. I think the Futures League and specifically the Navigators did a really good job with the way they treat the players and the way, like, the product they put in the field, the level of competition. The fans are amazing. Fan interaction with the it's awesome. And this year, I know we have new ownership, and I'm really excited to get to play for the Januaries. You know, growing up around the North Shore playing baseball, you've heard about them a lot of times, and I've known a lot of people that played for them, know them, and they've had nothing but great things to say about them. So I'm really excited to get to go play for that group and learn from them. And I know the coaching staff's really good. Actually, one of the new assistant coaches they just announced is from Merrimack, actually. He's like, got all the Merrimack College records, so I'm really excited to learn from him, learn from the coaching staff, and even learn from my teammates because they're all coming from different schools, different coaching staffs. Just talking to them about baseball, you just learn so many things. So it's really exciting for the season. Hopefully we can start on time because I just want to get back out on that field.
Cedric, you played for the Navs last summer, right-handed pitcher. So tell me about last year. What were a few of the highlights, kind of personal and team-wise, for you a year ago?
Yeah, no, last year was awesome. The team was good, really good, and it's just a good group of guys, you know, showing up to the park. It feels like pro ball for those couple months because you're going, you show up 4 or 5 hours before the game, you get your work in with your teammates in UBP, and then you have some time before the game where you can just get individual work in. I think really from an individual standpoint, the key for summer ball is about development and improvement because, you know, your college coach is sending you to play summer ball so that you'll come back a better player. So it's really just making sure that you figure out the things you got to work on. You learn from your coaches, learn from your teammates, spend time working on those things. And from a team standpoint, you want to win and be competitive. If any athlete, the goal is to win when you're playing a game. And so last year we were able to win. We lost the semifinals. We weren't able to finish it. So hopefully this year we can keep the winning going and finish it off at the end of the year, be able to come over with the championship.
Tell me about what you have learned as a college player. Since you left high school, how are you a different pitcher or a better pitcher now than you were back in high school?
Well, in high school, if you have a fastball and a curveball and you can throw them both in the strike zone, you're successful. In college, it's like in high school, if you were behind in the count 3-1, or like there was a runner on third base, and you just throw a fastball as hard as you could down the middle. And you learn pretty quickly in college ball, like if you're behind in the count, you can't get away with that. Like you can't just try to get over the zone. You have to make 3-1, even 3-0, you have to make competitive pitches. Like, even if you have to get your off-speed over, put it on the black, you can't, no matter what, you can't leave anything in the middle. Or college hitters take advantage of that real quick. So, developing that and developing a changeup for a third pitch has been probably the two biggest keys, because having that third pitch so hitters can't just key in on just seeing that spin and just taking it. So with the third pitch and being able to throw three pitches for strikes, I think is the most important things I've worked on.
Hey, so you're now a student at Merrimack College, and I was kind of mentioning to you before we started that, you know, a lot of folks, a lot of the kids at the high school level around here, obviously not in school, not doing classes, maybe doing some stuff online, but it seems like it's a little limited. Not the case at the college level. You are going strong academically, albeit all online, right?
Yeah, so we have some classes using the Zoom online streaming, so you'll sit in front of your computer with the camera and just listen to the teachers talk, and it's basically just like the way you would do in class, and then some teachers will just go on the website and post, like, discussion postings, readings, if they want you to watch a video, and then you have to write and do an assignment on it. So it feels the same. There's really no differences except you're doing it from your house instead of going to class.
Now, as far as working out, Cedric, you mentioned you're still able to throw, but it's still kind of limited, right?
Well, yeah, I'm able to go up to the field and throw into the backstop. I live real close to the high school field I played at, so I'll just be able to walk up there with my bag of balls. And as long as I can stay on schedule with my throwing and keep my arm conditioned and stay ready for summer ball. You know, it stinks that we're not out on the field playing, so you're not really getting those innings, like game reps. But I have to keep my arm in condition for summer ball. So I was just able to get up and throw into the net. It's been good enough, I think.
Yeah, this delay, obviously, it really challenges pitchers, I would think, for sure, obviously, as much as even obviously more so than even hitters, I would think, you know, for sure. But all right.
I don't know how hitters are getting their live at bats. I think that's going to be tough for them.
Oh yeah, yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah. So you should have a great summer then if they play. You know what I'm saying? These hitters will be out of it, and you'll just be dominating.
Yeah, I think it doesn't take them too long to get back into the groove.
Okay. All right, a little reality check there, I guess. All right, Cedric, anything else to share with us? On what you're looking forward to this summer?
Not really. Just really hope we're able to get out there. I miss baseball. I love playing. I just really hope that somehow we're able to get back out on the field this summer and be able to play.
Well, I hope you get back as well. And I know the Januaries do have some big plans for Fraser Field this summer with the Navigators. And obviously you're a big part of those plans. So, Cedric, thanks so much for joining us. And keep that arm strong.
Oh, it was great to be on. Thank you.
Yeah, take care. And we didn't do this via Zoom. We just did it over the old-fashioned phone. Cedric Gillette with us, Merrimack College right-hander and out of Andover and the North Shore Navigators.
This is MSONewsSports.com, and this is Connections, a chance to meet your North Shore neighbors. News, politics, left, center, right, newsmakers, people, issues, features. Connections on MSO News Sports.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Enjoy the taste of summer all year round at Cherry Farm Creamery. Pick up an ice cream cake for that special occasion. Cherry Farm Creamery offers the best ice cream right off Route 128 on Conant Street in Danvers. Or visit them at cherryfarmcreamery.com.
Well, I am not an expert at handling these phones, obviously. Welcome back. I'm Rick Moore, along with Bill Newell and Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Gary Larrabee has joined us now. And, Gary, we hope to get Tim back on in a second here, but welcome back. How are you doing?
Doing great, Rick, and we had some real golfy-like weather today, and it's going to get another golfy-like day tomorrow, so it's that torturous for us, Rick. The weather's nice, and the golf courses are in great shape, but we can't play golf.
Oh, my God, he's still on it. He's still not listening. I don't know how to... Okay, hold on one second, Gary. I'm sorry. My apologies. Tim, are you there? Hello, Tim? Hello, Tim? Tim, are you there? Hello, Tim? Hello, Kearns? Hello, Tim? If Gary, if I weren't annoying you so much, it'd be funny. Hello, Tim? Tim?
Hello.
All right, you know what, Gary? I'm going to have to cut this thing off here. So I'll probably have to call you back in one second. Gary, I apologize all over the place.
It's fine.
All right. Are you there? You're not.
Hi.
All right. Here we go. So anyway, after all of that, great weather. Now, I think we talked about this last week. Are the golf courses going to be open?
Well, that's a good question. Right now, they're closed until May 7th per a governor's edict to avoid any people getting together and socializing and all that social distancing stuff. So it's a torturous time, actually, Rick, when we get some bonus days of golf and we can't play because of this coronavirus. But we'll get over it, and we'll eventually get on the golf course. When, we don't know, and one of the most unfortunate parts of it here now is that a lot of people who have jobs in the golf industry around here are not working, and the economy taking a hard hit virus, and the golf around here on the North Shore is no exception. The other big story, of course, is the fact that the virus is wiping out so many big golf tournaments we like to follow and write about or talk about, both at the local level and the state level and the national and world level. With what happened today, it shocked me, made me speechless for a few seconds, Rick, the fact that the Open Championship scheduled for mid-July at Royal St. George's in Kent, England, will not be held. And it's been canceled for this year, so there'll be no Open Championship this year, one of the four majors, because of a scheduling issue, as well as their concern over in England that this virus is not going to get better.
Has that happened before, Gary? I'm guessing probably World War II.
That's it, only World War II, and the fact that the Masters has moved back their tournament this weekend.
Right.
In November 12th to 15th, and the Ryder Cup is the end of September as scheduled, and the U.S. Open's been moved from turning us upside down. The PGA Championship is scheduled for August 6th through 9th out in San Francisco. That was originally scheduled for May 14th to 17th. It's been turned upside down and basically been obliterated for the time being, and golf has been no exception.
Yeah, and I know, on the national and worldwide scene, as you mentioned, financially, it's going to be an amazing crunch. But everything is going to be depressed, I think, in terms of, finances and crowds and all that other stuff. But I do know that, it's going to be some kind of a new reality when we get back. And I'm kind of interested, Gary, in the local scene in terms of what's going to happen, because just guessing here, I mean, I imagine there will be people who won't be back to their jobs. They'll go somewhere else if they're able to get a job. So it could really alter the local scene somewhat, I would think.
It could. And, we just don't know what the long-range impact will be. We don't even know when we may be able to play some casual golf around here. I know one thing, a lot of the big state and regional tournaments are in jeopardy right now, and the biggest tournament that's in jeopardy has been canceled for this year, is the U.S. Senior Open. We've had that great tournament twice at Salem, most recently in 2017. The U.S. Senior Open this year was going to be done at Newport Country Club the last weekend in June. I know a lot of golfers up here in the North Shore. We're going to take a ride down there either for a good day trip or maybe stay for a night or two somewhere in the area, because that's, you know, one of America's great and earliest golf courses from the late 1800s, and that's been canceled, as has the U.S. Women's Senior Open. So both the men and the women on the senior side, 50 and over, are not going to be playing the championships this year. Very, very unfortunate.
And the other thing you mentioned that I didn't realize is so many of these tournaments, particularly locally, are fundraisers, and that's going to carve out a big gap, too.
That's a very good point. I mean, you know, the granddaddy of all the charity tournaments around here is the one-day Commodore Open, Mike Frangos Memorial Commodore Open, played at Myopia in early October, raises $55,000 and $100,000 every year for the Northeast Arc. They've raised over about $2.5 million over 50-plus years. But you know, that's just a small piece of it, though. But there were a lot of fundraising, as you say, for schools, for charitable organizations, and we don't know how many of those are going to by the wayside between now and who knows when. But we're very concerned also that the Mass Open won't be played in early June out in Western Mass at Taconic. The Mass Amateur is scheduled for mid-July at Catansett down in Marion. I mean, all the tournaments, you know, the Mass Golf plays about, holds 12, 13 tournaments every year.
Yep.
They may be wiped right out. The New England PGA is supposed to have their 100th anniversary New England PGA Championship at Myopia, where they held the very first New England PGA Section Championship 100 years ago.
Oh, my goodness, yep.
And Tedesco was going to be a companion site, and that's scheduled for August 7th, 17 and 19, and that's in jeopardy. So isn't the, you know, PGA Tour's FedEx Cup Northern Bank Trust Open scheduled for TPC Boston in mid-August. Last year was held in Long Island, I should say in the New York area. This year it's in Boston. It goes back to Metropolitan New York next year. But everything right now is in jeopardy of not being held this year.
I know. Well, Gary, if you can hold on 1 second, I'm going to try one more time. Tim tells me he's ready. So if you can hold on, I'll get right back to you for a final wrap on this stuff.
Fantastic.
Thank you. Hold on, Gary. Be right back. I'm going to put you on hold. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can make connections with the great Tim Kearns now. And I think we will. Gary Larrabee hanging on. Let's see if we can do this. This is my fault. I just don't have the expertise to figure this out. It was going so well, and then it wasn't. So let's see. All right, Coach, you there?
Hello.
All right, turn the radio down, please. And let me, I'm going to bring back Gary. Gary is with us, and Tim has joined us, and we've been talking about all the tournaments that have been canceled. The impact on that. Tim, say hello to Gary.
Evening, Gary.
I thought you were angry at me and you didn't want to talk with me tonight. Maybe I didn't know if you might be clipping your toenails or putting your hair in curls. I wasn't sure why you were not responding to Rick's pleas.
No, but it gave me a chance to get a spot of wine.
Oh, okay.
Well, great to hear your voice, Tim, because the big shocker came about today when the British Open, the Open Championship, announced they would not even hold their tournament this year, Tim. That was the biggest shocker of all I've seen so far, with all these big championship golf events being postponed, pushed back, like the Masters and the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship, and now one of the four majors being canceled. My God, what's next?
Yeah, I know, you know, I heard talking heads yesterday talking about golf, surprisingly enough. They were talking about the very compact schedule that the tour is looking to play if and when they do get back out on the course. And it just seems like an awful lot of golf to be played. And I'm sure happy for those guys. But of traveling and competing and it just seems like a tall task for them to do with the number of tournaments they want to play, again, in the relatively short time period that they discussed.
Well, they're making some adjustments, of course, and one of those adjusted tournaments is going to be the Northern Trust Championship on the FedEx Cup Series of three events at TPC Boston. That's been pushed back 1 week to August 20th and 23rd, so they can squeeze in the PGA Championship August 6th to 9th out in San Francisco. Just one example, though, Tim. You know, the Masters, they're going to do it in November, which is a surprise. But you know, this golf season starts in October. They're closing the golf course down like they do every April after the actual championship, but no Masters tournament this year. So it's just a bizarre year, and I'm calling it, Tim, in my column this Friday, the apocalypse of golf.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and it's funny, that's such a contrast to the your column today that talked about myopia and Essex and the big tournaments that they've been awarded and the prestigious ranking that myopia has attained once again this year.
Well, it's you know, we've got to, I'm not sure how many golf courses in the world, somewhere probably around 20,000, and to have one of our local tournaments make the top 100, according to Golf Magazine's experts, to make it at 92, and for Essex to be chosen for the third 50 between 101 and 150 is also extraordinary, although I think they make a mistake by not putting Salem in there someplace in the top 100 as well. But so great for myopia, and so special for Essex. And it's just a reminder, we've got such extraordinary golf courses around here, filled with history, filled with character, and now filled with even additional prestige.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the word character, and we all we need to do is think about the topographical layouts that so many of these golf courses have that present such unique challenges. You know, you wrote today about myopia. It's not a long course, but it is a tough course. It's one that you have to plan to play on. And I think that's characteristic of a lot of the local golf courses around here. They're just not flat, straight up and down. You know, you're playing in amongst the woods most of the day. And if you're like me, you're playing in the woods most of the day.
Well, and of course nowadays, especially both at Essex and myopia, chop down a lot of trees, Tim. And even though they're beautiful old trees from the 1800s, they needed to open up the golf course for sun, for air, but also to make it more natural, the way these courses were originally built. And it's just very exciting.
Yeah, and you know, and to that point, with all the trees they cut down, a newcomer to the course would probably remark how many trees there actually are.
Possibly so, but obviously the it's not just a trend, it's a fact of life that, especially these old golf courses that were built when none of this was even a consideration. These golf courses, because of root structure and where the turf is located, what kind of turf they're using, they need to be open to the natural elements, which are sun and rain and air. And Essex and myopia are certainly fall in that category. It's great news for those two clubs.
Guys, we got to get to our next guest. Gary, I'm sorry about the mix-up, but I appreciate your being patient. And good Lord willing, we'll do it again next week.
Look forward to it, guys. Be well.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, Gary, you take care.
Very good. Stay safe, Gary. All right, so we got Coach back on the line. Coach, we got a couple more interviews coming up, and then we'll get back and wrap this thing up in about 15 minutes or so.
I'm going to stay right here.
Okay, don't go anywhere. All right, I'll be with you in a second. Let me just take a break here. And next up, Bill Newell will be talking with the St. John's Prep Athletic Director. Actually, it's going to be the Lynn Classical High School Athletic Director first, Bill Devin, and then the Prep's AD. And that is Jameson Pelkey that will be coming up next. Okay, so we'll be right back.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team.
Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. Institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful, low-maintenance exteriors and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Lynn Classical Athletic Director Bill Devin is joining us here on North Shore Sports Night. Bill, welcome.
Welcome, Bill. It's great to hear your voice during these difficult times. Hope all is well.
Yeah, all's well. I've decided to go for the beard, and I was thinking of when I thought of a beard, I think Bill Devin's got to have an extra long beard right now.
Absolutely. I got to check it. I got to check it pretty soon. There could be some things growing in there. I don't know. It's getting pretty funky right now. But I'm glad to hear you got the beard going on. You're going to have to put that up on your profile on the MSO.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, so but and the barbershops are closed, so I mean we all have excuses now for sure. Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. I just was going to get a newspaper this morning, and it shows you how scary this whole thing is. I drive by the school, and you know, usually at some point, like early in the morning before kids go into school, the basketball courts at Breed are packed with kids playing basketball, and then you know, Kings Lynn, the tennis courts and everything, it's just completely empty. And then on my way home, I'm driving by Fry Park, and it's an eerie feeling. There isn't one person out there. You might see like one person maybe walking their dog or something, but usually those fields, you know, after 3 o'clock are just like jam packed with kids playing baseball, softball, et cetera, you know? So, yeah, this is all a different experience for everybody. But, you know, as you know, this is what we're being told to do, and to try to help curb this pandemic. So,
well, you know, you mentioned the dogs. They're the luckiest people around here, or folks around here. The dogs. I mean, I know they're not people. I misspoke, but they're animals. They're dogs, but they're getting a lot of good walks in here nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because they're saying one of the things that you should be doing is getting out there and getting a walk in, and the fresh air does wonders for you. But yeah, I have a dog myself, and I think the dog's starting to wonder why I'm home every single day, you know?
It probably is. Hey, Bill, what's happening within the Northeastern Conference? Any AD meetings or any discussions on the league?
Murray did a great job the other day. He put together a virtual meeting. We all met up on Google Hangout, which is a first for me in this age of technology. But as you know, the Globe and the Herald have been covering this pretty extensively. You know, the MIA and the TMC has been meeting on a regular basis. And in a nutshell, right now, you know, with the school down till May 4th, and if we were to have any type of a spring season, obviously it would be awesome, but it would also be abbreviated. So the plan is right now, go back to school May 4th. You know, instead of having the 11 days of practice or tryouts, the MIA has cut that down to 7. So the first match or game or track meet, et cetera, would be probably around May 11th or May 12th. And if we do have a state tournament, they said now it's not going to be a full state tournament. It's going to be a sectional tournament, which means for Lynn Classical, you know, we usually have pretty good baseball, softball, tennis teams, et cetera, et cetera. We would just be competing for a North title. And all of this would have to be done by June 27th. But they've already changed it twice because, as you know, things in Boston right now as we're talking on Monday are not getting better. We're hitting that peak that the federal government said that we're supposed to be hitting. So we're all just in this wait-and-see type of mode right now, you know, and especially with athletics. And under the scheme of things, isn't really important. It's just what's important is everybody's individual health and that your family's healthy, and that I think everybody out there is just taking a deep breath and keeping their fingers crossed and, you know, going to the supermarket's like an adventure. Everybody's nervous. You know, anywhere actually that you have to go to maintain life, you know, your corner store. Or, you know, I was at a corner store today, and they have the plexiglass up to protect the people that are working. I can only imagine what the healthcare workers and the firefighters and the police officers and every, you know, and all of these essential workers are what they're going through right now. It's unfathomable. So,
well, I understand what you're saying, Bill, and high school sports at this point have their place, and we know what it is right now, and it's yeah. there are other things that are clearly more important. Here's my last question for you, though, Bill, you know, what are you hearing from athletes, from coaches? Obviously, even now, there are no so-called captain's practices or anything like
yep.
that.
Yep.
But yet, you know, like pitchers need to be throwing the ball right now to some extent, you know?
Like, you know, my thing is in that, you know, I've been reading the paper a lot lately, and, you know, if you're a track athlete, if you are a pitcher, and hopefully you have a sibling, or there are a lot of things that you can do on your own or with maybe a family member to keep yourself in shape. Obviously, you can't go to the hitting facilities. Obviously, you can't, you know, go to places, the weight training places, all of these places that people congregate. But there are things that you can do in your house. My thought is this. I'm devastated for the seniors. It's just a hard pill to swallow. I just pray that they're all safe, you know, safe. And but kids are kids, and they come into seasons with their coaches, and they have goals, and they have things that they want to accomplish, not only with the team, but individually as well, looking at all of the sports. So I don't know. It's hard, I think, for everybody to comment, because we've never really gone through something like this before in this, you know, epic type of pandemic. So, but just to reiterate, I think it's important that people just quarantine and go out only when they have to, and spend time with their family members. And like I said, and if you can work out, there's a lot of stuff that you can do in your house to stay ready. So, you know, everybody's hope is that maybe, you know, some part of the season can be salvaged, because trust me, there isn't an athletic director in the NEC, as a matter of fact, in the whole state, that doesn't want to see some semblance of a season for our kids. And whether that's an 8-game season and something of a tournament, then so be it. But as of right now, it's you know, nobody knows, Bill. It's very difficult.
Yeah, I got it. All right. Well, you can you say a lot even with the words and the tone of your voice. We get it, Bill. Thanks so much for what you've saying here, and wash those hands. Keep your distance.
Yep. You're right. It's good hearing your voice, Bill. And you know, like everything in life, this thing will pass, and I think the country and everybody's going to come back bigger and better than ever before. So good to hear your voice, Bill.
Yep, well, thank you. Thanks for those words. Bill Devin, athletic director at Lynn Classical High School.
This season, start with a winning mortgage rate from your hometown team. Whether you are thinking about buying a new home or condo, or refinancing your existing one, our loan rates are among the lowest anywhere. Check out our full menu of rates and terms and apply online 24/7 at institutionforsavingsloans.com. institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders and remodelers choose Anderson Windows more than any other brand in the United States. They do so because Anderson Windows and patio doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows at any of our three locations in Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
St. John's Prep Athletic Director Jamison Pelkey is with us. And, Jamison, welcome. Good to have you. Good to be talking with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be talking with anyone right now, actually.
yeah, it is.
Yeah. Jamison, I want to just get a little update from you and on the prep and winter, spring, / sports. But, the school was featured, the athletic program featured on Chronicle, which was a replay of the program that aired just before the Super Bowl on Channel 5, the 7:30 p.m. Chronicle program. But they made some adjustments or additions into the one that aired just last Friday.
Yeah, they did. It was a real great piece that they put together, and we're fortunate enough to feature not only the athletic program and the football team, but the school in general. And they did, like I said, a great job with that. They aired it originally the night before the Super Bowl, and then they re-aired it this past Friday, so it's been fun touching base with some people over the weekend in regards to the program and, kind of just the spotlight that it put on St. John's Prep. And they did stuff outside of just the athletics and the football team. Like I said, they did a real nice job with Gus Balo, our senior PA for us that announces at our games. And it's kind of the voice, he is the voice of the Eagles right now. He's on Twitter all the time giving updates and is very involved in the program, not only football, but the entire athletic program. Bringing some alum back and talking to them, Pat Connaughton, Mike Yastrzemski, they were both featured on there. So touching base with them and kind of talking about their time and experience at St. John's and how it's helped lead them to where they are today. So, again, just a real nice feature and overall piece. So it was fun to watch.
Yeah, how are you going to replace Gus? I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, that's a work in progress. So what I told Gus at the beginning of the school year, one of the things that I wanted him to really focus on was getting some younger guys involved in his day-to-day with what he does with us after school and working games and those kind of things. And I didn't need to worry about, Gus taking that seriously, because everything that he does for us, he takes extremely seriously. And he right away got, a freshman involved with it who is pretty dedicated to it as well. He has been tagging along quite a bit with him and involved. And he's gotten, calling games, throughout the fall and the winter season. And he's gotten great and has done a nice job as he's gotten more and more comfortable along with it. And just with that, naturally, we've had more kids reach out to us in the athletic department in regards to becoming involved with that and working games and doing the live PA at games. Or, we have live stream as well that we live stream a number of our sporting events throughout the course of the season. And we'll have kids doing play-by-play commentary on that and getting them involved with that aspect as well. So Gus is involved with that and has gotten a number of guys involved with that as well. So he's definitely helped out in regards to, setting us up here for the next few years with some guys that are going to do a great job as well.
Yeah, Jamison, spring sports, obviously nothing's happening right now. So it's got to be kind of weird to take a look at that, the wellness center and all the adjacent fields and seeing nothing happening.
Extremely weird. I mean, I'm going in a couple times a week, just to touch base and, go in there, do some paperwork, those kind of things. And, you're going in there in the middle of the day and there's one other car in the parking lot. We're a 175-acre campus, so it's literally a ghost town around there. And to see, our fields on days like today with, nothing going on out there on them is just a sight that you're not used to seeing during this time of year, especially on a day like today. So it's definitely a challenge for us right now during this time. to be able to, you know, to stay off of those fields. But everyone, you know, that, you know, is, you know, in the St. John's Prep community, our students, alum, all those guys, our coaches, they're doing a really good job staying off those fields, you know, because that's what, you know, we need to do during this time. So everyone's playing by the rules and doing it the right way. So we're appreciative of that.
Yeah, it'd definitely be very easy to try to jump onto those fields from time to time. I get that. Jameson, how about a note or two from the winter sports at St. John's Prep?
Yeah, I mean, we had a real great year. The hockey team had a real solid year and a strong finish to the season. They had a nice playoff run. Ended up coming up a little short and in, you know, late in the season. And the game, set, you can look at it as the semifinal of the Division 1A Super 8 tournament. Lost in overtime there by a goal, but they, you know, had a great season and, you know, played really, really hard. And I couldn't ask for anything more with the effort that they gave and, you know, just fell on the short end of the stick on towards the end of that one. Honestly, it was a great hockey team between two great teams. You know, one team's going to lose and, you know, and it was us on that day. So overall, like I said, they had a great run. The swimming and diving team won the state championship, Division I state championship, so they had a, an outstanding, you know, finish on their season. The ski team had an undefeated regular season and competed extremely well in the state championships. You know, our fencing team, again, only had, I think, two losses in total at the end of their regular season and competed extremely well during their state championship weekend. You know, so all of our winter programs overall had a very good regular season and postseason play as well. So we're very, you know, excited and proud about that.
Well, Jameson, we appreciate your time. Be safe, and hopefully folks can get out onto the fields and practices can begin soon, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's what we're hoping. May 5th. You as well. Stay safe.
Yeah. Thanks, Jameson, and be well. Yep. Jameson Pelkey, athletic director at St. John's Prep.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Thank you, Jameson. Good stuff with both ADs, Bill Devin before that. Appreciate it, Bill. Thank you. And Tim Kern's with us now to wrap this thing up. Tim, I don't know, you and I were just chatting here about classic games on television, but I can't wait to see the kids back out there, and I'm not sure it's going to happen. What are your thoughts about having a spring sports season in high school?
Well, you know, again, if models are to be believed, we're still away from what they're saying is going to be the peak of the virus. But as I mentioned early on in the show, you know, we still have to deal with the backside of the contagion, and that could take weeks, months, and you know they're talking into June, July, August, and this still being a problem. And the May 4th return date for schools, you know, is seriously in jeopardy. And if there's no school, there's no spring sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be tough for, as everybody has mentioned, that the seniors especially are looking to get off, you know, have a lot to rock. It's also really bad for juniors who have really outstanding talent that are being looked at by major league teams, that are looked at by college recruiters, because it's your junior year that they really begin to take notice and they begin to seriously consider your talents for their squad being offered a scholarship. So not only the seniors, but boy, some of the juniors are going to lose out as well.
All right, Tim, I got to take one more break, so I'm going to ask you to hold on here. I got to just do one more break. We'll be right back. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports.
I'm Bob Gillis, president of KPN Savings Bank, serving the KPN community with stability and commitment for over 170 years. Since 1846, our customers have relied on our local bank service and big bank benefits. Stop by our offices or call to talk about your banking needs at 978-283-0246. Built on community, KPNSavings.bank.
Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, we're back for our final segment. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, Bill Newell, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. And Tim, this long-range thing here, we almost figured it out, but we'll get the hang of it.
Well, Rick, you know, as with Mo technology, it usually takes you 3 or 4 years. So, hopefully by the time the virus is on its course, you'll be ready.
maybe. It'll be helpful if you're here, but then we wouldn't need all this technology, would it? All right. So, Coach, any final thoughts? I mean, sports are on hold, and it's a necessary thing, and that as to how things are going to be when sports return. I'm not going to do that because it's just too complicated for me. But I look forward to that. But more importantly, I think that the behavior I have seen in people complying with the governor's edicts and the governor's guidelines, it encourages me that, okay, we can do this. We can work together. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm not a nationalist. I am a globalist. I believe that we are all of one earth. I certainly love the United States. I served in the military, and I love the flag. But I think that this points out, you know, when the butterfly flaps its wings in China. So I do feel encouraged that that people are taking this seriously now.
Well, you know, more and more people need to. We still see people gathering. We see, you know, ministers, you think, who know better, holding services with large groups of people. And, you wonder what people are thinking out there. And there's a price to pay for simply not being smart. And if they themselves don't get sick, they may actually contract the virus, not know it, and then spread it to other people.
Yeah.
And they're the contact point, but they'll never know it because, you know, they think that they've been protected. Well, unfortunately it doesn't happen that way. Church doesn't come with an immunity clause.
That's true. That's true. And all I know is that we got a long way to go yet, and we're getting there. And it's fun talking with you again, Coach. I missed this the little banter here. We'll do it again next week.
I hope so, yeah.
I hope so, too. No. All right. Okay. All right. Meantime, stay safe, Tim. Say hey to Medium, and Sláinte.
I was loving her, and I wish she would let me out of the house. She's like, get me tied and, you know, chained to the front porch.
Oh, boy, do I get my marching orders when I go out of the house, man, I'm telling you. And I don't even get into the house unless I'm washing my hands while I'm doing it. I got the hand sanitizer in my pocket and so on. So, I'm aware. They're keeping track of us.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, Coach, talk to you later. Stay safe, my man.
All right, Rick, you too.
Thank you, Tim. Talk to you later. All right, that's Tim Kearns. Our producer and engineer is Bill Proposky. Bill Newell, of course, Mr. Everything. Thank you for the interviews tonight and all the direction that Bill gives us. That'll take care of it. Again, if you have some suggestions or comments you'd like to pass along to us, please do at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. Thank you very much. Be safe. Do the right thing.